So let's talk now about Module 8, Lesson 2, Symptoms of Lyme Disease. So symptoms of Lyme disease very frequently sound like and look like and feel like symptoms of other conditions. So one big keynote thing of when you would be thinking somebody has Lyme disease is very related to how many other tests have been done. Module 8, Lesson 2, Symptoms of Lyme Disease. Symptoms of Lyme disease will look and express very similarly to symptoms of other disease processes. So things that you could see would be rashes, history of tick bites, although this is a kind of a silly question. If somebody does have a history of tick bites, you want to think about Lyme. But we now know that Lyme is transmitted in a variety of other vectors, such as mosquitoes and fleas. So just because somebody does not have a history of tick bites, please do not rule out Lyme disease as a possibility. Chronic fatigue is a big symptom. Pain, it's different than arthritis in that it tends to move from joint to joint, meaning it could be in the hip one day, in the knee another day, in the neck another day. So it does tend to migrate, and that makes it different than a typical arthritis. Sometimes Lyme can cause autoimmune disease to express and actually initiate. We're going to talk about that a little bit in the antibiotic treatment section later on in this module. But it's important to realize that if the autoimmunity hasn't expressed, Lyme could look like arthritis, but we could see things like anti-CCP3 and rheumatoid factor being negative. Now, of course, if Lyme has actually caused an autoimmune process to initiate, we could see those things as positive, but still most commonly, we're going to get the symptoms that migrate as far as pain. Headaches and migraines are really common. Neurological dysfunction is also common. Lyme disease has the ability, as one of its morphologies, Borrelia, does morph and turn into like a spiral type of shape where it can actually enter inside of our cells, stay behind our cell walls. It could also turn into cyst forms. It can go very deep into the tissues. So as it does all of this, it's important to know that it can actually live inside the nerves, which is one of the reasons for a large neurological dysfunction. Brain fog is very common. It's also thought to be perhaps a cause that is leading to things like ALS or Parkinson's or multiple sclerosis, some of these neurological conditions where we see changes in both the neurology and in cognitive function, and that's thought to be in part because of the attack of Lyme to the nerves, as well as the fact that sometimes if the brain is being impacted, we could do things like lay plaques down, like change the signaling, breaking down myelin, all in some ways as a resultant factor of the body trying to protect itself against the Borrelia. Fibromyalgia is common. Emotional dysregulation is really common. So very emotional, labile, getting upset or angry or anxious about things that seem really trivial is common. Sleep disturbances happen often. So do night sweats. Night sweats, of course, can be seen with other conditions such as mold illness. We'll talk about that in Module 9, but it can actually affect Lyme disease as well. And when you see that other treatments are not working, when you're trying a lot of things, when you have some great diagnostics and you're just not getting to the root, that's when another big reason you should start thinking about Lyme. So a few classic things, not here all the time, but again, just kind of keynote things to help you make you think about Lyme. One is waking at 3:30 a.m. and unable to fall back asleep. That's classic Borrelia in the brain that time. Another thing is a sudden onset of rage. Basically, this is considered Lyme rage, as a huge reaction to an issue or something minor. It tends to affect women more, and in part it could be due to the fact that Lyme can contribute to hormonal dysregulations. EMF sensitivity. So if somebody notices that they're very sensitive to EMFs, sometimes people will be crossing under wires, such as telephone wires, and they'll be really affected. That can be Lyme disease. Burning sensation is also a very common thing, as well as a sense of like internal vibration. So oftentimes with Lyme and the nerves, we can feel somewhat like the nerves are just buzzing and there's just this humming that people will describe under the surface of their skin and in their body. Bell's palsy, because of the effect of Lyme on the nerves, Bell's palsy is very commonly Lyme disease. TMJ pain, Lyme disease can actually, the Borrelia can actually get into the teeth, into the roots of the teeth, and can cause a lot of dental problems and periodontal diseases and pain in the jaw due to that Lyme living there. And it's also good to know that the vagal nerve is very affected by Borrelia, as well as other infections we'll be talking about, such as Bartonella and herpes. And what will happen when these types of infections attack the vagus nerve is we can get GERD, we can get chronic constipation, we can get inflammation of the tissue lining of the intestinal tract. So all of those things can happen. Borrelia also lives in the vitreous humor of the eye and the joints. So this is a place where there's a large amount of hyaluronic acid, and because of the large amount of hyaluronic acid here, Borrelia feeding on that hyaluronic acid will tend to basically attack the vitreous humor and cause some effect to the health of the eye. Autism is also a symptom of Lyme disease many times. MS, like I mentioned, ALS, Alzheimer's and dementias, Parkinson's. Anytime people have any of these more progressive neurological or cognitive type of diseases, we really want to consider Lyme disease. So it can be a time that we need to move very quickly because once people, of course, have this level of disease, there's already a significant amount of damage. But Lyme disease can sometimes be the reason for these disease processes, and if caught and treated, there is potential of recovering from these sorts of things. Psoriasis, POTS, one third of Lyme, is thought to actually have POTS, postural orthopedic tachycardia syndrome. Heart disease, Lyme gets into the heart muscle and valves, schizophrenia, depression. So some clues for POTS, because it's really common, wanted to talk a little bit more about this one. So Lyme, mold, and other illnesses will often present with this. And if you do a tilt test, a positive tilt test can be a big clue for POTS. Another big clue for POTS is that the person will feel better sitting. And if they have to stand, they will stand with their arms crossed. And that's basically helping kind of constrict and move that blood through the vasculature. Often another thing that will happen because we have a vascular problem with POTS is that fluid will build up during the day. And this can be seen as edema, which basically looks at like sock marks. So if they walk around all day and they have a lot of sock marks, and after they sit down for a little while or lie down, the sock marks go away. That's a sign of POTS. So a few things too we can do for POTS is, one, POTS tends to have exercise intolerance due to the lack of circulation in their muscles. So we want to, of course, help people with this so they can begin to exercise again. Then this type of dysautonomia will also be very sensitive to weather changes. So if people are saying that, oh, they can feel the weather in their bones, these sorts of things that people will say, that, while maybe true for their experience, is actually not just a aging type of thing. It can actually be a sign that there is something medically going on, and this is what it is. POTS is very related to vagal nerve dysfunction, so we have this autonomic nervous system dysfunction. As far as a few treatments, THC, interestingly enough, has been shown to help with POTS. The Western treatment is an alpha adrenergic agonist. But cacao nibs and ephedra can both do this from a more natural perspective. So, for those of you that don't know, ephedra is a herb. Ma Huang is this other name. It's an herb in the Chinese medicinary. So, anybody that is an acupuncturist can get a hold of ephedra, even though it's been taken out of products over the counter. Ma Huang is something still that we use in Chinese medicine for certain situations. And if somebody has POTS, this is a great use of the Chinese herb Ma Huang. And giving somebody cacao nibs, and also considering if you're in a state that is legal here in the country, considering something like THC, because that's also been shown to help with POTS. But underlying reasons for this when we're working with Lyme is really, of course, to get to that Lyme that's causing this. So next up, we're going to talk about testing for Lyme disease. We'll see you then.